market licking its wounds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. It was a lousy week for the stock market last week, with the Dow Industrial Average falling 4.25% for the week to finish at 13,265. The S&P and the NASDAQ each ended down nearly 5%. Will this week be any different? Who knows? In Tokyo overnight, Japanese stocks edged a bit higher, and in the UK, shares are up for the first time in 5 days. We have banking stocks getting a lot of attention in Europe. European banking giant HSBC reported better than expected earnings. On the other hand, British banking giant Barclays is trading down 2%. The company and the Dutch bank ABN AMRO have agreed to a merger. Now, that deal was crashed by the Royal Bank of Scotland. Now ABN has withdrawn support for the deal with Barclays. Meantime, the British government is worried that London's status as a financial center could suffer because of problems at the city's main airport. The government believes foreign business leaders might be turned off by long delays at Heathrow. Stephen Beard reports.
Business people call it the Heathrow hassle, the long delays facing incoming visitors. Now the British government has joined the chorus of criticism. A key minister says she's worried that big multinationals could be deterred from bringing their business to London because of the time their staff waste at Heathrow. Heightened security is one part of the problem. The airport's sprawling layout doesn't help either. Heathrow isn't big enough for the current level of traffic. The chief executive who quit 2 weeks ago said it's bursting at the seams. Foreign visitors already seem to be taking notice. Heathrow is beginning to lose passengers to other big European airports. Heathrow's traffic fell 1.2% in the first half of this year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There was heated debate over the weekend among members of the Bancroft family. The clan controls Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal, and they're facing a deadline of 5 p.m. tonight to decide whether or not to sell the company to Rupert Murdoch. Now, the Dow's board has said yes, but the Bancrofts will be the real deciders, and insiders are saying it's still too close to call. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Murdoch is comfortable with walking away from this deal if the family doesn't accept his $60 per share offer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
In the Senate energy bill passed last month, fuel economy standards were boosted. Cars and SUVs should get 35 miles per gallon by 2020. And as you might imagine, that has the car industry seeing red. This week, the House of Representatives takes up fuel economy, and car makers are lobbying hard to get the bill tweaked before it hits the president's desk. Jeremy Hobson reports from Washington.
One proposal in the House would be even tougher than the Senate bill, with a target date of 2019 for the 35-mile-per-gallon average. Environmental groups are lobbying fiercely for higher standards, but Eli Hobson of the Union of Concerned Scientists says the auto industry is fighting back hard.
The auto industry, after our success in the Senate, decided to throw out a last-ditch effort, and I wish I could get my hands on the amount of money they've spent. Unfortunately, we think if that had been spent on increasing technology, it would have been a lot better use.
The industry is getting behind a different bill that would push the target date back to 2022. That has the support of the United Auto Workers Union. Alan Reuther is legislative director.
The targets, we think, are more achievable and aren't so damaging economically that they're going to put the companies under.
Even if the House doesn't consider higher fuel standards this week, it'll have to confront the issue in negotiations with the Senate over its energy bill. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Good branding can make the difference in whether a company sinks or swims. Think Coke. It's the top brand on a list put together by Businessweek and the consultant Interbrand. Bert Helm is a reporter at Businessweek. He helped write the feature on the best global brands. Bert, how is the brand measured in value?
What we're able to do working with Interbrand is they look at the brand as if it were a financial asset on the balance sheet, based on how much the brand can earn going forward. So to do that, you look at the profit projections, the revenue projections of whatever company that is, how much of that is actually driven by the brand. So basically, how much of a price premium they are able to get versus if it were just a no-name product.
Who are some of the companies that have the biggest branding problems right now?
Well, we always look at the biggest winners and the biggest losers, and the Motorola had a great year last year with the Razr, and they just couldn't replicate it. Now, there are brands that have just almost every single year we've done this ranking have had problems. That's Ford, Gap, Kodak. Apple, the brand, is growing very, very fast. But Microsoft is actually, in terms of the earnings that the Microsoft brand will create, is much, much bigger.
What about turnaround stories?
There are companies like Burberry. What Burberry managed to do is really go back in its roots in a way that got away from the Burberry plaid, but stuck with the very British refinement and slowly rebuilt their cachet. And we saw that reflected in the ranking this year.
So who takes the credit in the end for good branding? Is it all Madison Avenue?
I think Madison Avenue would want to take credit. At the beginning, it's definitely its product and it's what you're selling. For instance, another great comeback story is Nintendo, which had the Nintendo Wii. Now, it just could not have rebuilt itself from being the third place video game console versus Microsoft and Sony without this amazing product that just does all these really cool, innovative things. But then they did very savvy advertising. They did very savvy PR to show people that it was not just another video game console. And so it's really the combination of those two things.
Bert Helm is a reporter with Business Week in New York. Hey, Bert, thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
And speaking of branding, The Simpsons movie took Homer off the couch and into the Hollywood spotlight. The big screen version of the animated sitcom took in nearly $72 million as the top movie this weekend. The Simpsons had the fifth best opening weekend of the year for a major feature, beating Transformers, Ghost Rider, and Ratatouille. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks so much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.